Well, today we have a very appropriate gospel reading. It's all about the disciples of John baptizing and the disciples of Jesus baptizing. And this will really set the stage for tomorrow's great feast day of the baptism of the Lord. And we take a look for a few moments at John chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. And it says that the Lord and his disciples went down to the area of Judea, and along the Jordan River, they began to baptize. It was very close to where John the Baptist was doing his baptisms. They seemed to be even within view of each other. And St. John the Apostle, in one chapter later, clarifies that it was not Jesus himself who did the baptizing, but it was his disciples who did the baptizing. Why the Lord didn't baptize, we don't know. But he had his disciples do all the baptizing, and John and his disciples were doing baptizing as well. This was not the sacrament of baptism. That would be established later. When the Lord would found the Catholic Church, he would tell them, go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That would be the sacrament of baptism. That would come later. What John was doing and what Jesus' disciples were doing was a different kind of baptism. Was not a sacrament. It was a symbolic ritual, a symbolic rite where people would go down to the Jordan River. They would confess their sins. They would be submersed in the water and be purified with the pouring of water and do almost like a Jewish ceremonial washing to cleanse themselves, to prepare for the Messiah. And it was a symbol of repentance and confession and being washed in the Jordan River. Now, again, this was different than what we have in the sacrament of baptism, which is one of the seven sacraments established by Christ. But this was a sort of a pre-Christian symbolic washing. And so it was a sign of repentance, a sign of preparing a person's heart for the Messiah. So the disciples of Jesus were baptizing, and John was baptizing people. And somebody came up to John and said, there's more people going to Jesus and his disciples than to us. He has all the big lines. Because it's like when a restaurant looks across the street and everybody's going to the other restaurant. And there was competition among some of John's disciples. They said, John, what shall we do? We're losing all of our people. They're all going to Jesus across the river. And John, of course, who was a true prophet, a holy man, a man of God, says that's exactly what we want. This is why we're here. We're here to prepare the way for the Lord. I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. I have testified that he is the one. And so this is part of the Heavenly Father's plan. So John understands this. And John says that no one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. So what the Lord is doing, what Jesus is doing, is truly the will of God. It's what the Heavenly Father wants. And John reminds them, you yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Christ. So John was not leading people to himself. He was a truly humble man. He was leading people to prepare their hearts for the Lord, to prepare their hearts for Christ. And then John concludes this particular passage by giving us a metaphor of a wedding. And he says that Jesus is the bridegroom. He is the groom. And John says, I am the friend of the groom, which we would call the best man. And what is the role of the best man? It's to prepare and lead and help the groom. And so John says, my job has been to prepare people's hearts, to get them ready for the groom. And that's such a beautiful imagery, this wedding imagery, which is found throughout all of Scripture. In the Old Testament, God loves his people as a beloved loves his spouse. And God has a covenant relationship with us. And then we have in the book of Revelation the idea that heaven is like a wedding banquet, and that we enjoy the banquet and the festivities of like a wedding feast in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus always refers to himself as the bridegroom, who is his bride? His bride is the church, and his bride is each one of us. To the Lord, each one of us is his beloved friend. Each one of us is the beloved spouse of the Lord. So Jesus is the groom. His church is the bride. Each one of us is his beloved. And that's why Jesus died for us on the cross and shed his blood, laid down his life for his bride, the church, for each one of us. And so then John says, my job is just to get things ready, just like a best man will prepare things for the groom and be on watch and do everything that the groom wants and make sure everything is ready to go. So my job is coming to an end, and his job is just beginning. And John says, this joy of mine has been made complete because he must increase and I must decrease. If we were to say there was one quality of John that we should all imitate, it is humility. John was such a humble man. He did not want any of the praise himself. He always wanted to reflect that to Jesus. So he said, he must increase, Jesus must grow, and I must decrease. And it's so appropriate that the Lord's own birthday we celebrate on December 25th. And from the time of Christ, even nature, the days get longer and longer, beginning with the birth of Christ. John's birthday we celebrate at June 24th. And that's when the days begin to get shorter and shorter. And so the light gets shorter and shorter, beginning at John's birthday. But then with the birthday of Christ, the days get longer and there's more light because Jesus is the light of the world. So these feast day of John's birth and Jesus' birth are beautifully placed, that even nature shows how Jesus must increase and John must decrease.